मोकम करोति वाचालम पंगुम लंघयते गिरी यत्कृपातहं वंदे श्री गुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंद माधवं श्री चैतन्येश्वरं। So we're reading from Canto 7, Chapter 2, Text 12. No, Text 11. So please get ready with the book or the online site. So the ones who don't know where to get this book, you can go to vedabase.io, V-E-D-A-B-A-S-E, and you can get Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, 2nd Chapter, Text 11. Or you can click on the link that is posted in the, with the message. Please chant. Vishnu Dvija Kriyamolo Yagyo Dharma Mayaha Puman Devarshi Pitri Bhutanam Dharmasya Cha Parayanam. So who is speaking this verse? The great villain of this particular section that we have taken, Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu is holding a trident in the hand and he's very angry. And he's looking at all the demonic crowd, all the Danavas and Daitya standing there. And he is talking to everyone and he's giving them instructions. And what is the expectation? As soon as he gives instruction, completes his instruction, everyone should start abiding with the instruction and execute the instruction as it is. Let's see what basically he means in the shloka. Translation: the basic principle of Brahminical culture is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the personification of sacrificial and ritualistic ceremonies. Lord Vishnu is the personified reservoir of all religious principles, and he is the shelter of all the demigods, the great pitas, and the people in general. When the Brahmanas are killed, no one will exist to encourage the Kshatriyas to perform yajnas, and thus the demigods, not being appeased by yajna, will automatically die. Okay, I had one question. So, should I keep the intensity of the class like the way you know I've been speaking, or should I reduce that intensity? Because I really don't know how many are able to digest my classes. So, can we have some comments here? You want me to reduce, you can write reduce. If you want me to speak the same as I've been speaking, you can write that no, same. Yes, if you want me to increase, then maybe increase as it is. Okay, same. Okay. Increase also if possible. Okay. Now, since everyone is saying, so you know, let's have the same intensity in our classes and we'll go accordingly. Yes. Purport. Since Vishnu is the central point of Brahminical culture, Hiranyakashipu's plan was to kill Vishnu. For if Vishnu were killed, naturally the Brahminical culture would also be lost. With Brahminical culture lost, yajna would no longer be performed. And for want of yajna, the regular distribution of rainfall would cease. Yajnat bhavati parjanya. Thus, there would be disturbances all over the world, and naturally the demigods would be defeated. So, from this verse, we get a clear indication of how human society is disturbed when the Vedic Aryan civilization is killed and the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies performed by the Brahmanas are stopped. Kalo shudra sambhavaha. Let me explain what is given here. So when it comes to this yajna in third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's very clearly mentioned, third chapter or fourth chapter, one of them. Very clearly it's mentioned about how the rains happen. So the rains are not just some miracle or something. There's a science behind it. So in our lower standards, we have heard about the heat of the sun will evaporate the ocean water and then it will form the clouds and you know it will come. Oh, that's okay. That's external. There is much more subtler science. What we have learned is gross science. What is the subtler science that Bhagavad Gita talks about? Krishna says, yajnat bhavati parjanyaha. So when the person does yajna, when people in general, the common populace, when they do yajna, what happens is, so this yajna, the ahuti that is put, is accepted by the Devi Devtas, and they being pleased, you know, with our sacrifice, so they shower the rains. Indra is the Devta when it comes to the rains. And then when the rains come, so at that time the grains will grow, and then we'll get food. And then, sorry, that grains have to be used for sacrifice, and then accept whatever remains as prasad. Okay, so this is the cycle. So how does the cycle starts? The cycle starts with the sacrifice that we do. So sacrifice need not be every time yajna. In this age of Kali, the sacrifice is chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And another thing that we do is offer whatever we have in service of the Lord. Like the bhoga that we offer, the food that we offer. So that is also sacrifice. So this has to be done. So when the sacrifice is done properly, the Lord is satisfied. See, Lord does not need. But this is a universal government that is formed by the Lord. So he is acting accordingly. So he accepts when the bhoga is offered with love and devotion. Or if it is offered to demigods, they will accept. And then when they're satisfied, they'll shower the rains or keep the climatic conditions very favorable and to keep everything favorable, whatever is needed for the satisfaction of human beings. And then after that, the next thing that happens is, after the rains come, the crops will grow. We get grains from that. And again, the grains that we get, that has to be offered in sacrifice. And the cycle will proceed. Now, wherever the cycle breaks, the entire thing will be disrupted. That's what is currently happening. Since people are not trained very properly for doing yajna and what sacrifice to do, people are not at all having any knowledge about this, because people don't read Shastra. So when this knowledge is not there, people will not do this particular thing, and there will be lots and lots of problem. And currently that's what we are saying in this age of Kali. So it's not because of sun's heat has reduced. You see, sun's heat is the same. In fact, it has increased. Okay. So I'm trying to negate the gross science that we have learned. So the sun's heat is the same. The ocean water is the same. Okay. So according to our theory, or according to the gross science, it says the sun's heat will evaporate water and the clouds will be formed and it should rain. Then why is it that the places where the rains were very proper previously, why is it that now it's not happening? The sun is the same. The sun god has not decided to reduce his heat. Nor the ocean god has covered his the top layer with opaque black opaque surface, or isolation is there on the water, that heat is not penetrating the water. No, nothing like that. Everything is same, but the subtler science is not followed. When the subtler science get disrupted, the gross science will not work. So look at the knowledge that we have got from our school days, the gross science, which is completely dependent on the subtler science. And in Gurukul, the subtler science was taught first and the gross science was implicit. Now only the gross science is taught, and subtler science is something which cannot be just derived from the gross science. Right? So in this way, when people say that science is everything, we have to ask, which science are we talking about? Gross science, subtler science. Let's proceed. Kalau Shudra Sambhavaha. Okay, now our descriptions are coming. Because the population of the modern world consists mostly of Shudras, the Brahminical culture is now lost and it's extremely difficult to re-establish in a proper way. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has recommended the chanting of the holy name of Lord, which will revive Brahminical culture very easily. This is a very important shloka. Please chant. Hare Nama, Hare Rama. Hare Nama Iva Kevalam. Kalau nasteva 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 gatiranyatha. Because of the increment in, okay, so this shloka basically means there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way to counteract the evil effects of Kali Yuga, but by chanting of the holy names, chanting of the holy names, chanting of the holy names. That's the only solution. That's what the shloka says. Because of the increment in demonic population, people have lost Brahminical culture. Nor is there a Kshatriya government. Now you see, it's not just the government problem. It's also the problem of people. So now people are not Brahminical. And at the same time, the government is not Kshatriya. Like previously, if someone would get into some criminal activity like rape or murder, that person will be beheaded. The head will be removed. So, kya bolte hain Hindi mein? Mukh sharir se alag kiya jayega. Yes. So, what would happen is when this such dangerous and really fearful punishments would be given. So at that time, the other thieves and other rogues and other criminals would get really very sachet, very alert. And they would not commit any criminal activity. But now what is happening? Now, case after case, you know, are going on in the court. And now finally, the case starts when the person has committed criminal act. And, you know, it goes on, and the person dies and the case gets closed. So freely people are committing criminal activities. Why? Because the government is not actually Kshatriya. Kshatriya means, you know, full of intense mood to set the right principles. And how to set right principles? Mardo. Simple. Punish, give a heavy punishment. And Shastra says the heavy punishment is not given. That particular criminal has to rot like anything in the hellish planets. Now, it's very clearly mentioned in Shastra. Yes. So the Kshatriyas would give heavy punishments so that the karma, the bad karma of that person is nullified to a very great extent by that punishment. So no, unfortunately, that is not there. That's what Prabhupada is saying. Instead, the government is a democracy in which, so this is a very nice line. Look at this. Instead, the government is a democracy in which any Shudra can be voted into taking up the governmental reins and capture the power to rule. So what is the current government now? Shudras vote and Shudras become the leaders. So what will happen? Then now, at least understanding what is given in Bhagavatam, understanding the fact, we shouldn't blame the government. We should blame ourselves and we should blame the setup. Right? So we as Shudras, we have elected Shudras. What to do? We are not seeing the qualification. And so that is the reason. Before, it was monarchy. There was no democracy. Democracy was there to some extent where the monarch would take the suggestions and advice from the Brahmanical class, the group of Brahmanas. There'd always be a group of Brahmanas in any kingdom. They would give suggestions. So that's not there now. Because of the poisonous effects of Kali Yuga, the Shastras say, Dasyu Prayeshu Rajasu, the government will adopt the policies of Dasyus or plunderers. I think all of us can resonate with this point when we are paying the taxes. Thus, there will be no instructions from the Brahmanas, and even if there are Brahmanical instructions, there will be no Kshatriya rulers who can follow them. Aside from Satyuga, even formerly in the days when demons were flourishing, Hiranyakashipu planned to destroy the Brahmanical culture and the Kshatriya government and thus create chaos all over the world. Although in Satyuga, this plan was very difficult to execute. In Kali Yuga, which is full of Shudras and demons, the Brahmanical culture is lost and can be revived only by chanting of the Mahamantra. What is that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Therefore, the Krishna Consciousness movement or the Hare Krishna movement has been inaugurated to revive the Brahmanical culture very easily so that people may become happy and peaceful in this life and prepare for elevation in the next. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya quotes this verse from Brahmanda Purana. Viprayagyadi moolam tu harir ityasuram matam harir evahi sarvasya moolam samyan matonrapa. O king, the demons think that Hari, Lord Vishnu, exists because of Brahmanas and Yajnas. But factually, Hari is the cause of everything, including the Brahmanas and Yajnas. Therefore, through the popularizing of Hari Kirtan or Sankirtan movement, the Brahmanical culture and Kshatriya government will automatically come back and people will become extremely happy. So the solution for all the problems in this age of Kali is chanting of the holy names, by which the kalmash from the heart will be removed. And the person will be able to get some clarity to understand what is happening around. Obviously, Bhagavatam is giving us clarity. But even to understand this, suppose we don't discuss Bhagavatam like this for a good amount of time, we'll not be able to understand what is put forward here. And in fact, we'll start having questions. No, everything is proper. What is the problem? Why is Prabhupada saying like this? Right? So, This is a very, very important aspect. Chanting of the holy names is the solution for everything. The problems, the personal problems in our life, the domestic problems in the family, the problems of society, the problems of nation, the problem of the entire world can be solved just by chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because when a person starts chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the hearts get cleansed and the goal of life becomes common for everyone. Currently, the goal of life is different for everyone. Before, Kshatriyas would have the goal of life as pleasing Krishna or attaining Krishna. Brahmanas would have goal of life of attaining Krishna. Vaishyas and Shudras will also have the same goal. So everyone would be in sync and there would be a very peaceful and harmonious setup. But now everyone has a different goal. The politicians want to amass as much wealth as possible. And the general citizens who are there, they are looking, oh, this person is just looting me. I'll not pay. And somehow or the other, people are trying to take the money towards the black. So we call this black money and so on and so forth. So that is the reason all the corruption is coming. Why? Holy names are not chanted. Simple. The chanting of the holy names is a solution for everything. For everything. Text 12. Immediately go wherever there is good protection for the cows, the brahmanas, and wherever the Vedas are studied in terms of Varnashrama principle, set fire to those places and cut from the roots the trees there, which are the source of life. There's a very intense verse. Let's see how much we can discuss. The picture of a proper human civilization is indirectly described here. So this particular shloka is completely valid in this current situation, in this age of Kali. In a perfect human civilization, there must be a class of men fully trained as perfect brahmanas. So this line makes it clear that brahmanas are not by birth. Brahmanas are by training. Brahmanas have to be trained, not by birth. Nowadays, obviously, there are some rituals where the brahmanical thread is put right at the age of 5 or something like that. That's okay. That's different. And also we see when those small kids, they grow up and become engineers and or engineering college, they remove the thread, they'll hang it somewhere, eat whatever they want and again put it back after taking bath or something like that. Right? So in this way, we see that the training has to be given for brahmanas. Not only brahmanas, even kshatriyas should be trained. Vaishyas should be trained. Shudras, there's no training needed. There's no training needed. That's what we see. So there is no training given. Nor in schools, nor in colleges. Only thing that is taught is how to earn more. Yes, instead of daily wages, it's salary. That's it. There is no difference. There's no difference like that. So there's no training needed for Shudras. Similarly, there must be Kshatriyas to rule the country very nicely according to the injunctions of the Shastras. And there must be Vaishyas who can protect the cows. See, Prabhupada is not mentioning about Shudras here. The word Gavaha indicates that cows should be given protection. Because the Vedic civilization is lost, cows are not protected, but instead indiscriminately killed in slaughterhouses. Such are the acts of demons. Therefore, this is a demonic civilization. The Varnashrama Dharma mentioned here is essential for human civilization. Unless there is a Brahmana to guide a Kshatriya to rule perfectly and a perfect Vaishya to produce food and protect the cows, how will people live peacefully? It is impossible. Currently, if you see, now, there is no restriction on this not killing cows. Obviously, some amendments came, some rules and regulations came. But now we see only at that particular time span that was followed. Now, still we have places where the cows are killed. Still the cows are killed. And when a mother is killed, what do we expect? What do we expect in the society to happen? The society will be ruined for sure, destroyed for sure. No doubt about that. Because when the mother cries, so that cry, is going to really affect in so many ways. When there was an earthquake in Nepal, there was one very scientific article which had come. So they had done some cattle sacrifice, which they had done at that time. Cows and bulls were sacrificed. So there was an article by one of the scientists, he wrote that when these animals were sacrificed, so at that time, it was huge in number. So there was a river of blood that was flowing. It was really giving goosebumps to see that ghastly scene, like almost like Jallianwala Bagh scene that was, where all the cows are lying dead. So the article said that there is something called as pain waves. Pain waves. So when a person feels the pain, the body emits some waves that is called as pain waves. So the person was saying that these pain waves of each and every animal which was lying there combined together affected the crust of the earth, and it started creating disturbance. And that's how the earthquake happens. That was one of the analysis that was given by one of the scientists. And it made a lot of sense, a lot of sense. And you see, this pain which is there, we might say that, okay, I'm not a non-vegetarian, I'm doing good, so what is the problem? Yes, no. You know, the pain that the animals are going through in the slaughterhouse, now that is going to affect the entire surrounding. So we might say, okay, slaughterhouse is there, anyways, I'll not go closer. But the waves from that place will come closer to us. The negative energy from that place will come closer to us. Right? When someone says that, what is your problem? I'm eating a flesh of cow. I'm eating beef. No, we have a problem. Why? Because of you, even we have to suffer. Because of you, the pain which is there around, that creates a negative energy. And because of you, we have to suffer. And that's what we're seeing. That's what is happening in the Age of Kali. Yes, where is the prosperity? Where is advancement of civilization? So this is what is happening. Another point is that trees should be given protection. During its lifetime, a tree should not be cut for industrial enterprises. In Kali Yuga, trees are indiscriminately and unnecessarily cut for industry, in particular for paper mills that manufacture a profuse quantity of paper for the publication of demonic propaganda, nonsensical literature, huge quantities of newspapers, and many other paper products. This is the sign of demonic civilization. So for various things, now you see the trees are getting cut. So now it's very clear here. See, anyone who follows Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, anyone who becomes a devotee, he's naturally an environmentalist. He's naturally a feminist who very well knows how to give protection to the females, how to respect the females. He's naturally a philanthropist also, where you know he uses his intelligence to give Krishna to others. So naturally, all the qualities will manifest when a person practices bhakti. These people who go around with nice rallies, you know, protect this, protect that, etc., etc., they are the ones who create so much of problem. Not everyone, but yes, no, majority of the crowd. They are the one who create so much of problem. Yes, you plant one small sapling and then you cut so many trees there. That's so sad. So becoming a devotee is actually the solution for everything. See, we should be convinced now. After reading these purports and after getting a proper understanding, scientific understanding, see, we are not speaking anything illogical. Everything is scientific here. In fact, we are not even discussing gross science. We're discussing subtler science. Yes, we're talking about the inner aspects of science. So one thing we should be convinced of is by practicing bhakti, everything else will manifest. Everything else will manifest. Only because we are not practicing bhakti, all these things are happening. Why trees are cut? Why all these nonsense things are happening? Because we are selfish. Because we are selfish, all these things are happening around. All the negative aspects are happening. Once a person becomes a devotee, he becomes selfless. A devotee is the one who is para dukha dukhi. Now, I have seen personally, you know, I have seen some devotees when some dog is dying or some, you know, even when it comes to some small insects are dying, you know, they feel a lot of pain. They go close to that particular animal or insect. They chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I have seen devotees doing that. I've personally witnessed that particular thing. That is the mercy or that is the compassion that is there in the heart of a devotee which flows. There is no question of cutting the trees then. In fact, when you go to Vrindavan, on every single tree it is written Radhe Radhe. Every single tree. Yes. So this is a very, very nice thing that we have to understand. By doing bhakti, everything else will manifest because all the good qualities are going to manifest in the person who is practicing bhakti. The cutting of trees is prohibited unless necessary for the service of Lord Vishnu. Yeah, obviously, now you know, we shouldn't say, oh, you know, Bhagavatam also has pages. So this is a good thing. When Bhagavatam is there, you see, when the pages of Bhagavatam and pages of Bhagavad Gita, they're eternal. They're not like newspapers. They're eternal. And you know, they're retained and they're worshipped. So it's really useful. And in fact, those trees which are cut to make these papers, you know, where the verses of Bhagavatam are printed, those trees will surely go back home. Or in the minimum thing that can happen with those trees is for sure they'll get a human form in next life. No doubt about it. When the trees, when the tree trunk is used for doing yajna, for sure they'll have a good destination. Because that is used for Krishna's service. When anything is used for our sense gratification, that will have a very, very bad destination. So because of us. And we'll also get sins for that. No doubt about it. Yagnarthat karmanon yatre lokoyam karma bandhanah. This comes in third chapter. This is a shloka from third chapter Bhagavad Gita. Work done as a sacrifice for Lord Vishnu must be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. But if the paper mill stop producing paper, one may argue, how can our ISKCON literatures be published? The answer is that the paper mill should manufacture paper only for the publication of ISKCON literature. Because ISKCON literature is published for the service of Lord Vishnu. This literature clarifies our relationship with Lord Vishnu, and therefore the publication of ISKCON literature is the performance of Yajna. Yajnarthat karmanonyatre lokoyam karma bandhanah. Yajna must be performed as indicated by the superior authorities. The cutting of trees simply to manufacture paper for the publication of unwanted literature is the greatest sinful act. And also a few points like set fire to those places. And wherever the Vedas are studied in terms of Varnashrama principle, go and destroy those places. So you see, very clearly, we understand. Same thing is happening now. What the media is putting forward, how the media is pulling down the importance of bhakti, how it is showing that this is out of fashion, or something which is in fashion or yo-yo of this world is, something like this, wearing short clothes, wearing, or eating so-and-so things. And you see how even the non-veg foodstuffs are portrayed very nicely. That a chicken piece falls from the top, and then it breaks into pieces and, the person's mouth starts watering. This is how everything is portrayed very nicely. Very nicely. And you see, when it comes to media, it will always portray sense gratification. And it will always portray those things. Illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling. Try doing this experiment. Try doing this case study. I'm not telling you all to watch movies nor watch any TV series. Now just recollect whatever you have watched or whatever you have listened to. Just analyze. They are just talking about how to break these four regulative principles very nicely. How to break this principle of illicit sex. For that, there are so many equipments now which have come. Let's not discuss that. That's a mode of ignorance talk. When it comes to meat eating, you see how it is portrayed. Those nice pinkish chicken pieces which are there and so on and so forth. Even a vegetarian would feel like, oh, it's so nice. Looks like some vegetarian food stuff. And when it comes to intoxication, so we have Madhuloka. What a name. Madhuloka. And then even the decoration that is there, in the bars and pubs and other things, those are so alluring for people in the mode of ignorance. And then when it comes to gambling, yes, so many things are gambling. When it comes to cricket, people gamble. When it comes to other sports, people gamble. Yes, and so many other places, people gamble. So in this way, we see that these four regulative principles are very nicely broken or given inspiration to break the four regulative principles. Right? That is the reason Shastras are speaking very, very strongly. And that is the reason Prabhupada spoke very strongly that this is how it should be. You have to follow four regulative principles. Chant 16 rounds. Because only when we do that, we'll be able to revive at least a place where we can live. Or else we'll have a tough time. We might say that, I'm having a good time. Currently the society is good. That's okay. Because still some parts, some culture is followed. The generation of our parents and maybe our generation is the last generation which talks about the different rituals taught in the family tradition. Now we are seeing that the next generation will not know at all what traditions to follow, what rituals to follow. Blindly also they will not know to do some blind rituals. It will be completely eradicated. The media is not talking about that. Right? And also have you seen one thing when it comes to media? When does all these various devotional programs start? When people are sleeping. Morning 6 o'clock, morning 7 o'clock. Yes, people in the mode of passion and ignorance are sleeping. They will never have access to such TV shows or whatever. So nicely it is designed. Very nicely it is designed. We don't find most of the devotional programs happening in, say, in the afternoon times or the time when people are really watching some movies. At that time, we don't find. Only some channels are there. But those channels don't get much TRP because people are not interested much. So they close after some time. So for our benefit, we have got Hare Krishna TV channel opened by ISKCON. That's benefiting so many people. Yes. Let's go to the text 13. Thus the demons being fond of disastrous activities took Hiranyakashipu's instructions on their heads with great respect and offered him obeisances. According to his directions, they engaged in envious activities directed against all living beings. The followers of demonic principles as described here are thoroughly envious of general populace. In the present day, scientific advancement exemplifies such envy. The discovery of nuclear energy has been disastrous to people in general because demons all over the world are manufacturing nuclear weapons. The word Kadana Priyaha is very significant in this regard. The demonic persons who want to kill the Vedic culture are extremely envious of the feeble citizens, and they act in such a way that ultimately their discoveries will be inauspicious for everyone. Jagato Hitaha. The 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita fully explains how the demons engage in sinful activities for the destruction of the populace. Now, since this demon thing is now coming again and again, my heart is pumping to speak something about the demonic so-called religion. There are many so-called people, they call it themselves as religious. And they say that they're following some scriptures and they are the ones who are so demonic. They are the ones who are trying to convert so many Hindus by force. Now, we were seeing some videos of Bangladesh and even some parts of India, northeast of India, so many places, Kerala and other places, you know, by force people are converted to that particular demonic religion. And we also see that these are the people. There were some videos where if suppose that village becomes completely filled, you know, with the demonic people, they force even the so-called pious Hindus, you know, to get converted to that particular demonic religion. And it is unfortunate that when it comes to the Hindus, they're not even bothered about what is happening around. In fact, they're like okay with it. They're okay with it. This is completely Shudra mentality. Shudras are not at all worried about what is happening around. It pains the heart. It pains the heart when we see that now from the right path, people are going to some hellish path. And why am I calling it as demonic religion? Because they don't follow what is given in their own scripture. And with time, the scriptures have also diluted and degraded for one's own sense gratification. Now look at this, what is happening. So that is the reason all of us have to equip ourselves nicely with philosophy, and we have to save all those innocent people who are around us. See, atheistic people, we might not be able to help them much. But at least the innocent people, we should be able to help. We should be able to help. Now, if by Lord's desire, if suppose we do a Janmashtami, we should be so fired up that we should go and invite each and every person in our locality. And we should make sure that they attend the Gita course and understand what is the philosophy. Every house should have a Bhagavad Gita. Every house should have a Bhagavad Gita. Even if they don't read, it's okay. They should have Bhagavad Gita. And we should take that lead to go around and distribute Bhagavad Gita. Yes. If this is not happening, very soon the entire community or entire society or entire country or the world as a whole will turn into the demonic religions, which we are seeing. They don't have any courtesy. They don't have any mercy. They just rape females like anything. They have various terminologies where they want to convert people into their demonic religion. And what are they doing? They would just capture or kidnap some females and rape them or marry them by posing that they're loving them or whatever. Yes. And they just want to somehow or the other kill the Sanatan Dharma. That's it. This is exactly the demonic religion. Exactly the demonic. And whatever the Sanatan Dharma people do, they want to do exactly the opposite of it. We want to protect cows, they want to kill cows. We want to protect females, they want to rape females. We want to do something good here, they want to do something really horrible. Something really horrible. Yes. This is a very important thing. If we are really understanding what I'm speaking in code words, we have to become really fired up. Really fired up in bhakti. Look at the points that we are trying to understand from Srimad Bhagavatam through this discussion of Hiranyakashipu. So it's not just we practicing bhakti. We have to do it. We have to come to that level as soon as possible. 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles. We shouldn't wait for that much. And we have to become fixed up in our bhakti, and we should become so pure that as soon as we go and touch those innocent people, they all should become devotees. That's the purity that we should get within us. And when we get that, for sure will be able to do something. For sure will be able to save those innocent people from going to hell. Or else, this world is going to be really demonic for sure. There is no doubt about it. Maybe currently in this generation, we might not be able to see. There are some traces we can see, but not complete demonic tendencies. But for sure, now maybe the next 2 to 3 generations might be able to see a very good amount of demonic culture. Very good amount of demonic culture. So this media, this demonic so-called religions and so on and so forth are literally the sword which is hanging on the top of our head. And we are okay with it. We shouldn't be okay with it. We should somehow or the other try to preach this message of Bhagavad Gita. That's why I gave that assignment. I don't know how many of you have done. At least in a week, 2 to 3 people we can call and tell them about the Mahamantra. Ask them to chant the Mahamantra at least twice. Only twice or thrice they can chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Because they are not as fortunate as we are. We had Gita course, we have these Bhagavatam sessions. So we understand what is the importance of the Mahamantra. But they might not be that fortunate. They might hear some few talks from us, because they might not be really keen about hearing about Mahamantra. Right? So we are fortunate. So we are chanting 16 into 108 times the Mahamantra. So let them chant at least 3-4 times in a day. Let them go in front of the altar fold, join their palms, and just chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That's what I do whenever I meet my relatives. I keep telling, I'm going to give a magical mantra. This mantra is really the topmost mantra. And this mantra is very simple. This is a very, very amazing prayer. And just by chanting this prayer, all the auspiciousness will be created in the house. Please repeat after me. And then people start chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Especially the small kids should be targeted. They should be taught to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra before going to school. Yes. And then the innocent relatives and the innocent friends should be, preached about the Mahamantra. And then when they are favorable, when they have enough Sukruti, because not everyone can attend Gita course sessions and Bhagavatam sessions. They need some level of spiritual credits. So once they gain good spiritual credits, they will automatically come. Like most of you have automatically come, for the Janmashtami and then later to the Gita course. Right? So we have a very big responsibility. This is what I'm putting forward. We have a very big responsibility on our shoulders. Very big responsibility. First is Janma Sarthaka Kori. We have to perfect our life. Come to the basic standard of 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles, reading every day, few pages. Tell me, reading 2-3 pages, how much time it takes? How much time it takes to read 2-3 pages? Yes? But still the mind will trick. No. You can save those 2-3 minutes and, you can really, do big. Maybe you can design a big rocket or suggest something to NASA or suggest something to ISRO. How much endeavor it takes, to hear a class just putting, earphones. How much endeavor it takes. But our mind is so distractive and it's filled with so much of desire for sense gratification that it becomes so difficult even to read 2-3 pages of Beyond Birth and Death book or Bhagavad Gita or whatever and hear those Prabhupada audios. Prabhupada doesn't speak more than 30 minutes or 40 minutes. Max, you'll find something like 50 minutes or something. He doesn't speak much because he understands people in general how much capacity they have. So he'll just speak for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Why can't we hear at least one lecture a day? When we are having lunch together or dinner together, if everyone is already practicing bhakti, why don't we play that lecture and have our dinner? Or if suppose the family members are not favorable, let's put the earphones and hear and have our prasad. While cooking, let's hear the class. While doing some office work, which is just monotonous, let's hear the class. Let's hear the Hare Krishna Mahamantra Kirtan. But trust me, the mind is such a great culprit. The mind will not allow. Only the ones who are hearing these Bhagavatam classes and our Gita course classes, Prabhupada classes very attentively, they will be able to do this. Otherwise, the mind is going to take over. Yes? And when the mind takes over, we cannot come to that basic standard. And when we don't come to the basic standard, we don't have purity. And we don't have purity, how can we help people around? Many people are suffering. They need our help. They need our help. They don't know they are suffering. We have to equip ourselves. Let's get those machine guns. That one finger which is out of the bead bag, what do you think it is for? That is the machine gun. You go around, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Hit people. This is what is that one finger coming out for. Yes. So this is what we have to do. I'll be very happy I'll be very happy if all of y'all come to that level of practicing bhakti every single day, and I'll be extremely happy if we can preach this message all around. At least people whom we are connected to. Yes, you can take trainings from your mentors, how to give the message nicely in good terms. And I request, please don't use my Bhagavatam class language to preach. This is only for this discussion. None of my classes are like this. I mean, only when there's a close group, whom I really trust and whom I really have a lot of affection for, I speak all this. Or else, I speak different analogies and whatever. You can see the morning Bhagavatam classes on YouTube. They are completely different as compared to these Bhagavatam classes. Yes. So let's go to the next sloka. Which one? 14. The demons set fire to the cities, villages, pasturing grounds, cow pens, gardens, agricultural fields, and natural forests. They burned the hermitages of the saintly persons, the important mines that produced valuable metals, the residential quarters of the agriculturists, the mountain villages, and the villages of the cow protectors. The cowherd men, they also burned the government capitals. I forgot to mention a point. Recently, I heard a very sad news. Somehow, slowly and steadily, these demonic people, they are actually hitting and physically harming our sadhus. So recently, I heard that in Vrindavan, there is a temple called Imlitala, very beautiful temple. And there, a lot of pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has happened. So that particular place, there were two sadhus, two sannyasis. They were hit very badly. I saw those photos. They were bleeding. They were bleeding. And there's so many other sadhus who have been literally beaten black and blue without any reason. Without any reason. So we have to literally become very, very alert. And we have to literally practice bhakti intensely. And save these sannyasis and sadhus. Yes, we're spreading this message more and more. You see one case study from West Bengal. So in West Bengal villages, now since we have our ISKCON headquarters in West Bengal, we have it in Mayapur. So there the preaching is happening so intensely at every village. You go, there will be a program of ISKCON going on. And that is the reason these demonic personalities of other religion, other so-called religion, again and again I'm saying so-called religion, because if they follow their principles properly, it will be pure. But since they have not degraded their own religion or culture, now we are calling it as demonic. So they are not able to penetrate even a single village. Now this is what we are hearing. This is what we are hearing. So most of the places are completely safe now, in West Bengal when it comes to the villages. So this preaching has to happen. This preaching has to happen. Yes. All glories to our preachers in Mayapur. Now they are taking a lot of risk. And they're going around and going to different villages, going to every home. They're falling at their feet, making them chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, giving them prasad and so on and so forth. Even if people don't accept Mahamantra, one thing that y'all can do is first come to the standard of four regulative principles. And okay, even if you're at four rounds, eight rounds, it's okay. But prepare everything without onion garlic, offer it to Krishna and distribute that. Maybe in the building saying, today is my birthday, even if it's not. Go and distribute it. Yes, today and the next day is your husband's birthday. Next day is your kid's birthday. Yes, every week, one day, every week once we can do this service. Yes, or we can say that we did a puja today. A very important festival was there. And people are not interested for details anyways. A very important puja. So please accept this prasad. If not every week, at least once in a month, we should be able to do this. Yes. Offer nice bhoga to the Lord and distribute it to at least a good number of families in the apartment. This is a very, and everyone likes prasad. Everyone likes prasad. No doubt about that. Yes. And the ones who are atheistic, we just go and say that, today there was a party. So I had thrown a party. So this is the party food. We don't tell them it's prasad. So they eat. And with time, they'll get sukruti. And without their notice, they'll become devotee one day. So let's do this. Let's be fired up. Let's do something. Let's do something for humanity. Let's do something. Yes. Purport. The word udyana refers to the places where trees are especially grown to produce fruits and flowers, which are most important for human civilization. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachati tadam bhaktya uparitam ashnami prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I'll accept it. Fruits and flowers are very much pleasing to the Lord. And if one wants to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can simply offer fruits and flowers and the Lord will be pleased to accept them. Our only duty is to please the Supreme Godhead, Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. Whatever we do and whatever occupation, our main purpose should be to please the Supreme Lord. All the paraphernalia mentioned in this verse is especially meant for the satisfaction of the Lord, not satisfaction of one's senses. The government, indeed, the entire society should be structured in such a way that everyone can be trained to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But unfortunately, especially in this age, Nate Vidhu Shastram Gatim Sri Vishnu, people do not know the highest goal of human life is to please Lord Vishnu. On contrary, like demons, they simply plan to kill Vishnu and be happy by sense gratification. So this is a very nice thing. Very nice thing that Prabhupada is talking about. That fruits and flowers can be offered to the Lord. And our entire existence is for giving pleasure to Lord Vishnu. This is what we can say. So our entire existence is to please Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu. Attain Krishna is our goal. Suppose if everyone starts doing that, there will be one common goal. And there will be so much of harmony in the entire society. Like we had it in Vedic times. Text 15. Some of the demons took digging instruments and broke down the bridges, the protective walls and the gates of the cities. Some took axes and began cutting the important trees that produced mango, jackfruit and other source of food. Some of the demons took fire brands and set fire to the residential quarters of the citizens. The cutting of trees is generally prohibited. In particular, trees that produce nice fruits for maintenance of human society should not be cut. In different countries, there are different types of fruit trees. In India, the mango and jackfruit trees are prominent. And in other places, there are mango trees, jackfruit trees, coconut trees, and berry trees. Any tree that produces nice fruit for maintenance of the people should not be cut at all. This is a Shastric injunction. So this is a Shastric injunction. So we can understand what it is. And whenever we violate any Shastric injunction, it is sinful. Text 16, thus disturbed again and again by unnatural occurrences caused by the followers of Hiranyakashipu, all people had to cease the activities of Vedic culture. So one thing I'm remembering currently is one devotee had gone to a village in Bangladesh. So there they had forcefully changed, converted people into a different religion. So that devotee, he got 4 Laddu Gopals from one temple. I asked, why 4? I'm talking about the lead person of ISKCON Desire, Vaishnava Seva Prabhu. He was sharing this experience. He had gone there and he was telling that once people get converted to other religions, so they're forced to give up all the deities and they'll come and dump it in some temple. And he was telling the temple was filled with lots of Laddu Gopals and other deities of Krishna. And he was telling, I was feeling so painful. I couldn't get all of them, but I could manage to get 4. That's what he said. So this is what is happening. In fact, there is a religion in which once a person gets converted to that religion, first thing that he has to do is, he has to keep all the photos of all the Devi Devtas or whatever he's been worshipping on the step of that particular organization or structure in which he's entering or accepting that particular religion. And he has to keep it on the step and he should stamp on that, on those photos, and then enter that particular organization. See how amazingly people are doing. Nicely they are brainwashing. And when it comes to ISKCON, when we are spreading the message of Bhagavad Gita, they call ISKCON is doing brainwashing. Yes, we are washing brains which are dirty. It has to be washed. And Bhagavad Gita is a nice scrubber. And Bhagavatam is also a nice scrubber for that. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the performance of, not receiving the results of Yajna, the demigods also become disturbed. They left their residential quarters in heavenly planets and, unobserved by the demons, began wandering on the planet Earth to see the disasters. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the performance of Yajna brings reciprocal good fortune for both the human beings and the demigods. When the performances of Yajna were stopped by the disturbances of the demons, the demigods were naturally bereft of the results of Yajna and hampered in executing their respective duties. Therefore, they came down to the planet Earth to see how people had become disturbed and to consider what to do. So you can imagine when the yajnas were stopped, even the demigods left their residential quarters from the heavenly planets. Now what happened? So what did Hiranyakashipu do after giving a nice a talk like a politician, standing and gave a talk nicely, and these people started doing? Hiranyakashipu went on to do something. After performing take 17, he went for something else. That is, after performing the ritualistic observances for the death of his brother, Hiranyakashipu, being extremely unhappy, tried to pacify his nephews. So he did the final rites, final rituals for the death of his brother. That is Hiranyaksha. Now look at him. He is the demon, but still is following some rituals. This is called Vedic culture. Yes. He did the rituals according to the Shastra. And then now he is going to pacify his nephews. Now we're going to enter Bhagavad Gita spoken by Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu Vacha. Yes, like Bhagavan Vacha. We have. No, and also see this text 20. How is it starting? Anyways, we'll read the translation about 19 and then we'll go ahead. Oh, King. Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry. Who is telling this? Narada Muni is telling Yudhishthira Maharaj. Oh, King. Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry. But since he was a great politician, he knew how to act according to the time and situation. With sweet words, he began pacifying his nephews, whose names were, so these are the sons of Hiranyaksha. Shakuni, now this Shakuni is not Shakuni of Mahabharata. Then Shambhara, Drishti, Bhuta Santapana, Vrika, Kalanabha, Mahanabha, Harishmashru, and Utkacha. He also consoled their mother, his sister-in-law. So the mother's name is Diti and his sister-in-law Rushabhanu, as well as his own mother Diti. Yes. And he spoke to them all as follows. Now look at this. Now how is it starting? Sri Hiranyakashipu Vacha. Right, like we said, Bhagavan Vacha. So we have, and also look at how our Narada Muni, you know, is giving this tag of Shri. He's saying Shri Hiranyakashipu Vacha. Yes, because he's going to speak a very, very nice philosophy. Now this philosophy which we're going to read, let's read this translation and then we'll end. Hiranyakashipu said, my dear mother, sister-in-law and nephews, you should not lament for the death of the great hero, for a hero's death in front of his enemy is glorious and desirable. Now we stop here and we start from this verse again in the next session. So we'll be having the session on Friday. So tomorrow we have special session. I've invited Harikshetra Prabhu. I'm trying my best on Thursdays to invite senior devotees so that they can enlighten all of us with their talk and their experience. So tomorrow we'll have Harikshetra Prabhu, and Friday we'll have an activity. So we'll read the verses from this. And at the same time, we'll have Bhagavad Gita with us and we'll try to find out an equivalent verse from Bhagavad Gita. We have some, I think, 4 or 5 shlokas like that. Yeah, so we'll have this nice activity. I'll tell you the chapter number and you have to tell me the shloka number. So that's the activity. Don't do cheating. Don't read it before itself. So we'll do it on the spot. Okay. So let's have questions now and we'll stop for the day. Okay, I can find one question. Okay. In which Varna Bhishma Pitamaha comes? People say he is Kshatriya, however, he only served the throne. So does Pitamaha's condition and deeds make him a Kshatriya or Shudra? Also, let me know for Ravana and Lord Parshuram, as their deeds were equal to Kshatriya. I'm just asking for clarity and mean no offense. Please forgive if anyone is offended. No, no one will get offended for this. So Pitamaha, Bhishma, he comes in the class of Kshatriya. Because you see, he was ready to take the arrows on his body. And Kshatriya's qualities are given in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So they are heroic. And they don't take a step back when it comes to fights, when it comes to battle. They will not take a step back. They'll come forward and do. So similarly, we see even when it comes to Ravana and Parashuram and others, even they belong to the Kshatriya class only. But when it comes to Ravana and other demons, they were not following the proper way of Kshatriya conduct. They were not following that. But still we see that when it comes to these demons also, they would follow some Kshatriya conducts, like if suppose someone does not have some weapon, so they will not go and hit that person. They will not fight with that person. So if the person doesn't have a weapon, the other person will also not lift the weapon. The demon will not lift the weapon. This is what we, you know, see even in case of demons. Yes. So anyone, you know, who is on the battlefield and without taking a step back, they're fighting, you know, for some cause and ready to give up their life, you know, they're Kshatriyas. They're Kshatriyas. In all the Yuga, demonic activities are common. Only thing we can see in Kali Yuga is quantity of demons activities. Yes, God increased and Bhakti got decreased at mass level. Is there any reason which makes Kali Yuga more worse than other Yuga? Basically, it's because of demonic qualities, as you've rightly pointed out. So because of more and more demonic qualities, which people in general also have, like even for us, you know, even when it comes to us, even we have demonic qualities, I mean, even me for that matter. Yes, all of us have demonic quality. What is a demonic quality? I want to do sense gratification. That's a demonic quality. That's the root of all the demonic qualities. So yes, Kali Yuga, mostly people are more self-centered, selfish, and they are more interested in sense gratification. And that is the reason we have these things. And as you have rightly mentioned, bhakti has got decreased because of not following the Vedic culture, not reading the Vedic Shastras, you know, which are given. So because of that, we see all these negative aspects in the society. So very nice analysis. Thank you, Chandan Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, I have been fortunate to have friends from different religions as roommates and also in office who have really respected my views, prayers. In fact, used to hear bhajans at hostel and even never ordered non-veg when I used to be with them. And on the flip side, my Hindu friends have not shown as much respect of me being vegetarian, but may not be the same for all. Hence, you said we have to be careful and not get carried away. True. Even when I was in my hostel, I had very good friends from other religions, and I would, especially from Islam, and I would encourage them to do namaz, and they would encourage me to chant the holy names. So we had a very nice cordial relationship like that. Even I had some Christian friends with whom I would discuss interreligious faith topics. So yes, now there are people who are, but I'm talking about the majority, as you rightly mentioned. So majority of the people are unfortunately getting into wrong direction. Birthday can come every week as its day. Only birth month comes once in a year. Oh, that's a very nice point. But only thing is, people will consider us mad if we do that. So, but that's really nice and humorous. Okay. With this current lockdown, we tried doing e-Bhagavad Gita distribution to a few of my friends, and it is running out to be beneficial. Oh, great. Yes, you can circulate the PDFs of Bhagavad Gita. Amazing. We can do that. In Vedic age, was there any mendacious belief of Mayavad, and what was the punishment of the Kshatriya committing sins, unlike Kamsa? Actually, Mayavad has come in Kali Yuga. Shankaracharya has got that. So in Vedic times, in the previous three yugas, I don't think we would have Mayavad philosophy. Yes, no, there would be people who would like to merge in Brahman. There would be some yogis who would like to do that. But they would not be Mayavadis. Mayavadis have a special characteristic that they defame and they pull the personality of Godhead down, saying there is no form, there is no Leela, and all this is just myth and illusion or so on and so forth. Something like that. How can a devotee beaten so badly near to his death? The case you discussed today, why didn't Lord protected him? How to understand the situation? Okay, this is another nice question to understand. Yes. See, when it comes to the Lord and when it comes to the devotees, yes. So Lord has actually given us also, some responsibilities. So when it comes to the responsibilities in general, so people have to make sure they execute the responsibility. So Lord will not interfere in that particular place. And these are the instances where Lord is telling that it's the high time. Or suppose, these sadhus didn't take the pain of getting beaten. So we would have never got to know, and we would have never become alert because of this. So Lord has his own plans. And we cannot actually analyze why only that sadhu was beaten. We cannot go on the level of karma, and we cannot go on the level of contamination, and, you know, speak all these things. But one thing is there, that yes, Lord has a plan, you know, behind everything, and His plans are the best, especially when it comes to create awareness, when it comes to teach something, and even when it comes to a devotee who is beaten badly, even at that bad condition, the person will be chanting the holy names. Yes. And also, you know, there are many, many things. I don't want to get into that. Yes, maybe sometime later in person we can discuss. If I want to share the knowledge to my friends, other religion, do we have to start with Mahabharata or discuss about soul body? I don't think we have to preach to people of other religion, not needed. We are not aiming for that. Even Prabhupada, when he went to West, when a reporter asked him a question saying, are you here to convert Christians to Hindus? Prabhupada said, no, I'm here to make them better Christians. This is what he said. I'm not here to convert Christians into Hindus. I just want them to become better Christians. That's what he said. And also, we don't have that purity, you know, to speak to people from other religions about what Sanatana Dharma speaks. Maybe we can encourage them to follow their own religion properly, you know, with following proper standards. You know? So that's what we can do. But we have to find out avenues to speak to people who are following Hindu religion. We have to do that. We have to find out people who are following Hindu religion, who are innocent, and you know, who don't have knowledge from Shastra, but, you know, doing some ritualistic activity. We have to find out those people, and nicely we have to preach to them. Yes, to them we can talk about karma. Karma, soul and body, you know, we can start discussing, you know, from the basics. So like we took the Gita course, that's how you can take it forward. You can give the Gita course session. Whatever you heard, you can speak that. Yes, so like that, slowly and steadily we can build. But one thing is there, that love and affection is the key to help the person, not the philosophy. Always remember. With what love and affection approaching that person and handing over the prasadam to that person, and with lot of love and affection you're talking to that person, and also how much we are following ourselves. Are they seeing us as a different person? Like, for example, we see, I hear that some of the spouses are not devotees. Only one spouse is following, other spouse is not following. So, and also when it comes to relatives, they are not following, in-laws might not be following. How we can actually preach to them? Not by philosophy. Philosophy will not work at home. Only by love. Only by service. They should see, oh, this person, by following bhakti, he is able to, he's so changed. No, even we should become like him. Even we should become like him. This should come, you know, in their heart. But philosophy will not work at home. Maybe slight philosophy we can give, you know, when it's needed. But if you really want to make them devotees, then love and affection. With love and affection, with a lot of care and having a lot of compassion for them, you know, we have to speak to them or serve them very nicely. And they should see the transformation in us. It's a big project for all of us. See, I'm not speaking about now practicing bhakti nicely. I assume that you have understood. Now I'm speaking about paropkar. Yes, all of us have understood now that we have to practice bhakti nicely. Now, by doing that, we are supposed to make sure that we help people also now around. When we are practicing properly, automatically there will be divine qualities which people will be able to resonate with. They will be able to connect, and they'll be able to glorify the qualities that they're seeing in us. And just by doing that, they'll get closer to us, we'll get closer to them, and automatically that bonding which is there, that will help for the devotion from our heart to get, you know, transferred to the other person's heart. But for that, we should have devotion in our heart first. Right? Yes. Was Uddhava Mayavadi before he got knowledge from Krishna in Uddhava Gita? No, how can he be Mayavadi? Because when it comes to Uddhava, he was very close to Krishna. Very, very close to Krishna. So Uddhava cannot be Mayavadi. Uddhava was cousin of Krishna. They would have a lot of fun time together. So, and Uddhava had a lot of love and affection for Krishna. And he was a very nice devotee. A very nice devotee of Krishna. Yes. Okay, so thank you very much.